Welcome to the GetRealWealth.com radio show, where wealth means a lot more than just building a second stream of income with real estate. Listen and learn how 90% of the millionaires in the world use real estate to create a life that most people only dream about. A life that includes good health, family, romance, travel, charity, and all the other parts of a balanced life. Now, here's your host, real estate investor and consultant, Steve Davis.
Good afternoon and welcome to the GetRealWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, where as always, we're here together working on improving our financial IQ, improving our income, improving our savings, improving our passive income, secondary stream of income. This is really a show for people who are like me, who just want more out of life. I hope this doesn't come across egotistically, but it's for people who want Ferraris, you know, and it's okay. I think people are guilty because they want cool things or fun things that really are just for ego and fun. It's okay. You're allowed to do that. It's also for people who have worked long periods of time, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and they're still not in the financial position they want to be in, and they're willing to do something about it. Today, I want to talk about something we talked on TV this morning about Fox 26. And what happened was 10,000 people moved out of Harris County and into mostly the surrounding counties, the suburbs of Houston. And they were wondering how this was going to affect the real estate market. And so what I did was I read the article, and I think by accident that whoever authored it forgot to ask a question: how many people moved into Harris County at the same time? I couldn't find that exact statistic, but I did find out that 367,000 people moved to Texas in 2019, mostly to the big cities. So the 2020 results aren't in yet, but I'm sure it's going to be, you know, 200,000 or 300,000 again. The point being is that 10,000 people moving out when tens of thousands are moving in is pretty irrelevant. I don't see that affecting the market at all. Now, why are people doing it? I think that answer is relatively obvious. It's a higher quality of lifestyle in the suburbs now. If you look at the people who live in, we'll say inside the 610 loop, and don't get me wrong, that's a high quality of lifestyle, but they deal with some of the worst traffic. You know, you go into the Galleria area, high quality of lifestyle, traffic's horrible. Just getting from the Galleria back on the freeway frustrates me. And people are doing that every day going to and from work that live in that area. Well, since I'm a time-sensitive person, not a money-sensitive person, that ain't for me. You know, wasting 30 minutes twice a day just to get on the stinking 610 where you waste another 30 minutes stuck in traffic, that doesn't impress me at all. People are selling their houses, and I'll just give you one example. This was a California person. Sold their house for something like $3.5 million. Didn't even have a pool. This is California. Comes to Houston, moves to Cinco Ranch, where they buy a $1 million house that's 1,500 square feet bigger than the one they left and has a swimming pool, whirlpool, outdoor kitchen, you know, and they've got $2 million to invest and build passive income at 20%. That's 400 grand a year for the rest of their lives if they know what they're doing. That's a pretty big step in a higher quality of lifestyle. 99, which is obsolete already, they need to add lanes to it, is booming. Hundreds of restaurants, entertainment, bars, it's just unbelievable. And I would say a quarter of the traffic compared to living inside the Loop. Now, some people, though, that's their egos attached to it. They love living inside the Loop. That's cool. But if your ego's not attached to that, and you can buy twice as much home, fight a quarter of the traffic, and have all of the restaurants, bars, and fun times that, and you're still only 30 minutes from downtown Houston, that's a pretty high quality of lifestyle. So in a nutshell, I don't see the people, one, I don't think they all moved out of the city because of COVID. You know, anybody that's that fear-based, I'm sure a portion of them were, but I doubt it was too many, very many. I think people were leaving for the higher quality of lifestyle for their preference and lowering their taxes, lowering, you know, property taxes, lowering their insurance, getting a better house, and still having all the fun that they had inside the Loop. So again, I don't think it's going to have much effect. Not when everybody from the rest of the country is moving to Texas. I think we're going to continue to see a seller's market through the middle of the year. Then when the masks come off and the COVID response begins to dwindle down and they start allowing foreclosures again, then you're going to see a flip-flop from a seller's market to more of a buyer's market. Now, it's not going to be as good an opportunity as 2008. We all wish we could hop in a time machine and go back to 2008 and get ourselves rich. But it is going to be a substantial dip. There's going to be a tremendous number of properties come on the market in need of massive deferred maintenance. And those deals are going to be incredible opportunities for you and I to build wealth for ourselves and our families. We've got to go to break in a second, but when I come back, I'm going to talk about the attitude, if you're an investor, that you need to have when those foreclosures restart. It's the difference between a vulture and an investor, and they are two different things. And we'll talk about that when we come back from the break here on the GetRealWealth.com radio show. I'm your host, Steve Davis. You're listening to AM 700, The Voice of Texas. Thanks for listening. Do you dream of a better life for you and your family? Do you want more time with your family? Would you like to travel more? Would you like to be less dependent on a job for your income? The solution is simple. Build a second stream of income. We can show you how. We are offering a free 2-hour introductory workshop on how to use real estate to build a second stream of income for you and your family. To reserve a seat, visit GetRealWealth.com and click on the free workshop button at the top of the page. That's GetRealWealth.com. Thank you. Welcome back to the GetRealWealth.com radio show. I'm your host, Steve Davis, where we are working on our financial IQ. And one of those ideas that will improve your financial IQ is understanding how, as an investor, you're here to help and serve other people. The vultures, the inexperienced investors, Well, you know, some of these vultures have a lot of experience. We'll call them uneducated investors, are going to go out, and when all these foreclosures start happening, they're just going to go out and start hitting people up to sell their homes to them, and their focus will be on how much money they can make. And they're going to try to beat the people up, beat them down. It's a very awful way to do it. It's hard for me to even describe it because it's so alien to what we do. But they just go out and think about nothing but themselves and how much money they can make. And they win sometimes. They do it and they achieve it. But the reason that I was always so much more effective at getting through the front door with these families was my focus was on stopping the foreclosure and saving their credit. Because these people are going to lose their homes whether I'm there or not. If I'm there, they can at least save their credit, avoid the foreclosure, and get some doggone moving money. Whenever I put together a pre-foreclosure, and that's the term I'm going to use, meaning they're in foreclosure, but they have not been foreclosed on yet. Whenever I'm working with a family that's in pre-foreclosure, they're 3 or 6 months behind, my focus is how to serve these people in a way that I deserve to make some money too. And if I can save somebody a foreclosure, save somebody's credit, that's a big deal. Because the ones that do get foreclosed on, it's 7 years before they can buy a home again. It's really a bad situation to be in because they may recover in a matter of months when COVID's over, but that bad credit's going to last 7 years. So I'd knock on the door or make a phone call. Maybe they saw a sign, one of my bandit signs, and called me, or a flyer. I focused on stopping that doggone foreclosure and let them know right up front that if the deal works, I'll even get them some money at closing so they can move to a nice apartment. Where most, and I'll again call them vultures, they're not focused on anything but getting those people out of the house and getting that equity. I also did not care. That's not accurate. My focus was not on how much they owed on the property and trying to get as close to that as I could. My focus was on making a profit for myself, getting them $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 to move, paying off their mortgage, having enough left over for rehab, and saving their credit. And they could see that I was legitimate, and they would let me in and then tell me, yeah, 6 other people called, but I didn't like any of them. And you can see why. Because they came with that attitude, I'm just here for myself. And I want to make one thing perfectly clear, too. I told them I was going to make a profit. There was no hiding it. I didn't beat around the bush. I would say, look, if I can make a profit, get you out of the house, and give you $4,000 moving money, would you be interested and save your credit? Yay or nay? The ones that said yay, almost every one of them, I was able to do a deal with. Unless, of course, you know, they owned I'm sorry, owed more on the property than it was worth or something like that. But take a scenario where we've got a $300,000 house and they only owe $150 on it. I didn't try to get down to $150. I wanted to make about 10% on the deal, about $30,000. So I subtracted $30,000 from the $300,000. Then I subtracted the rehab, the closing costs, the holding costs, and so on. Then subtracted, say, $3,000 for moving money. And voila, there's my offer. I never got in debates. I never got negotiating. It was just, this is the offer. And they could see, you know, on the page, $30,000 profit for me, $3,000 moving money for you, save your credit, boom, boom, boom. And in that particular case where it's worth $300, they only owe $150, and whatever profit, the difference between all of my expenses and what they owed. So they get the, let's say it's $20,000. They get the $20,000 plus the $3,000 moving money. They get $23,000 and no foreclosure, no bad credit for 7 years. And they're able to buy another home as soon as they're back on their feet, which I'm telling you, a lot of these people, even back in 08, 09, 10, 11, a year later, they're back on their feet and ready to buy. But if they let that thing get foreclosed on, they can be ready to buy all they want, but they're not going to be able to buy until that falls off at the end of that seventh year. So if you're going to be an investor and not a vulture, focus on how you're here to help and serve the person in trouble. I never had anybody balk that I was making money. These people don't think you're doing this for free. They know you want to make some money. So there's no reason to hide it, no reason to disguise it, and no reason to beat them up for the other $20,000 just so you can make more money. Be fair. If you're making 10 or 15%, and you think about this, let's do the rate of return on something like that so you see why this is so powerful. If I go in and to buy them out, it costs me, say, $20,000 out of pocket, and when I sell the thing 4 months later, let's say four, and make $30,000, that's 150% rate of return in 4 months. You got to multiply that times three to get an annual rate of return. That's a 450% rate of return. Are you getting a 450% rate of return on what you're doing with your money? Chances are you're not. So this is a great way, and there's going to be so many families that just want out. They're beat up. They're mentally tired. You know, they've been behind on their payments for 5-6 months. They are mentally beat up, and they want to get rid of that house. So focus on how you're here to help and serve them when you're out there dealing with these families that, you know, I hate to be brutal, but here it comes, didn't save up 6 months of bills so that when something like this happened, they could handle it. Okay, if you got questions about anything to do with real estate investing, let me get the phone lines open. You can call me at 281-558-5738. 281, excuse me, that snuck up on me. 281-558-5738 or 281-558-KSEV. You're also welcome to email me. It's asksteve@getrealwealth.com, asksteve@getrealwealth.com. www.wealthwithmarshallinvestments.com. Okay, in the next segment, I would like to talk to you about moving across the starting line. A good friend of mine, Steve Rosenberg, who's probably got the best mindset classes I've ever seen, the most complete is probably appropriate as well, for getting people to get started. So many people listen to the show, they go, I'm going to do it. I'm going to start building wealth for myself and my family. I'm going to build a second stream of income. But you've been listening to me for 5 or 6 months and haven't done anything about it. When we come back, I'm going to share with you a couple of principles that I use to get myself to take action. And I think you probably can apply these to yourself as well. This is the GetRealWealth.com radio show. I'm your host, Steve Davis. We'll talk more after the break at 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. This is AM 700, the voice of Texas. Thanks for listening. Hi, this is Steve Davis, host of the GetRealWealth.com radio show. Catastrophes happen in the U.S. and around the world on a regular basis, causing tremendous financial difficulty for those unprepared. However, some people are prepared. These are the people with a second stream of income. This month, we are offering a free 2-hour workshop on how to use real estate to build a second stream of income for your family. For reservations, visit GetRealWealth.com and click on the free workshop button at the top of the page. That's GetRealWealth.com. Thank you. Welcome back to the GetRealWealth.com radio show. I'm your host, Steve Davis, where I'm here to answer your questions. In fact, I'd love it. I got 2 phone calls. I'll get to you in just a moment. This is way more fun than me just preaching and teaching. So please, if you've got a question, use a fake name if you're shy or feel like you got a dumb question, or send me an anonymous email. Just put anonymous in the subject line and I won't use your name. It's 281-558-5738 or email me, asksteve@getrealwealth.com. Let's go to Northwest Houston now and talk to JP. JP, thanks a lot for calling in. How are you today?
Oh, great. And you? And no worries about the teaching and preaching. Kind of like it.
Thanks. How can I help?
It keeps you putting good information in our head instead of junk.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I guess my question is, I recall you work with agents that bring you deals.
Yes.
Like, I guess before they put them on the market, but I guess my question would be, they're bringing them to you that they're under market with some equity in them, correct?
Yes.
But I guess my question is, I recall you say that, I guess in today's market, I'm noticing a lot of people are buying and overpaying for investment properties and
yes,
overpaying for retail properties, overpaying for them.
Agreed.
So I guess my question would be, what's the incentive for the agent to bring you a deal that, you know, has 20-30 equity in it, and even though it's cash, does that make sense?
Yeah. The reason they're doing it is it's the human brain always looks for the path of least resistance. And if an agent gets a deal, they can go hustle it, try to start an auction, or just give me a call and I'll buy it, and they get all 6% of the commission immediately.
Right.
So you've got to put yourself in a position where, and even with that, JP, sometimes they do it. You know, I've had my agents go, yeah, I found one the other day, but I auctioned it off. But here's one. So some of them will do it. That's why I have so many agents, generally 24 or more, that I work mm-hmm. with at one time. Because, like you said, sometimes they'll oversell it, or do a little auction, highest and best offer type thing.
Right.
And then once in a while, they'll just call me up and go, look, I just found this one. They really need to close quick. Let's help this family out. Boom. And I do it.
I got you. So they're still doing it, but they're, you know, because I ran across one the other day, and people are overpaying for investment properties. She says, well, I'm not that person.
Yeah.
If they want to overpay, they can. And then if they only want to make $5,000 on the backside of a of a what do you call a rehab or 8,000 or 10,000. That's not for me.
I agree with you. And
you know, so that's what you're talking about with your software that looks at that for us.
Yes. Okay. The other thing you're bringing up, JP, that I think is really shows you put a lot of thought into this is not only are they overpaying and only making $5,000, JP, I've seen deals where they paid full price. They're going to lose money after they pay commission to get it sold. And it's these people.
The new buyer.
Yeah. They haven't taken a course. They have no idea what the difference, what real estate investing is about. And they just think it's not rocket science. I'll buy it 30,000 below market, 10,000 rehab. They forget the closing costs. They forget the holding costs. They forget insurance. They forget all the other expenses.
Mm-hmm. So I wasn't too off base saying, well, that's not enough space in there for me to do all that.
You got
to make it reasonable profit, because I do want, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 equity in it after everything's said and done.
Exactly.
I got you. I was just making sure, because so we might have to go through a few agents to do that.
Absolutely. Quite a few.
Just checking.
All right, JP. Thanks for the phone call.
All right, my love.
You take care. Okay, phone lines are open, 281-558-5738. Let's go to Southwest Houston and talk to Al. Al, thanks a lot for calling in. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I just got a little quick thing. Is you know, I want to pay my house off, because I just don't want a house note, you know, because these jobs are changing and I got a little health issue. You know, I just want to have that security there. So,
all right.
What would be the best way I could do? Because I only owe about $67,000 on it, so I like to probably pay it off in maybe about 6 or 7 years, or if not, maybe I have to just drop that lump sum other than pay it off. So.
Yeah, this is a tough question for me, Al, because we generally don't pay them off. But if you have the desire and you've made a decision to pay them off, I think you only have to make like 2 extra payments a year to cut off. Like, let me ask you, how many years are left on the mortgage?
About 14.
Yeah, you only have to make like 2 extra payments a year to pay it off in half the time. Now, don't quote me on that. Just go online, find a mortgage calculator, put in your balance, and put in 6 years and your interest rate. And it will tell you exactly what payment to make every month to pay it off in 6 years.
Okay, then. So then, I guess those payments, they'll just go straight to, like when I send them in, do I say apply to?
You want to designate, designate any additional monies go directly to principal.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, that makes sense. I always listen to you. I know you don't like it when we talk about selling, but I'm just
kinda, what's the house worth, Al?
It's working away about 145 to 155.
Yeah, that's an easy payoff, and I think, you know, just making an extra 2 payments a year or the equivalent of. Yeah, I think you'll be able to do it in 6 years pretty easily.
Okay, that'll work. I appreciate it. That's why I listen to you.
All right, thanks a lot, Al. You take
care. All right, have a good one. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay, got an email question here, a really good one. Let me find it. From, I'll leave it anonymous because it's a company name. There's the name, Ruben. What's the best way to go about finding homeowners of a vacant property that I can buy as wholesale? There are companies out there called Skip Tracers. So the first thing you want to do, Ruben, is pull up the tax record and see if the address of the owner is different than the property address. If it's different, start a mail out. Look them up on Facebook. Look them up on LinkedIn. Look them up on any social media you know how to use. See if you can find them that way. If not, get a thing called a Skip Trace company, and all you have to do is Google it. Skip Trace. If I understand this correctly, they all use the same software. So it doesn't matter which one you choose, but, you know, choose the one you're most, that seems most credible. Maybe even make a phone call to three of them, interview the person, and go with the company that you like the best, that treats you the best, has the best phone skills, seems, you know, just like I said, interview them. Figure out which one's going to work best for you. But those skip tracers are really good. They're not very expensive, and they end up finding the people a huge percentage of the time, way more than 50% of the time they can find them. So I hope that helps, Ruben. All right, if you've got a question for me, give me a call at 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV, or email me. It's asksteve@getrealwealth.com, asksteve@getrealwealth.com. Let's go back to the phone lines. We're now in Southeast Houston. Oh, David, is this the David?
No, that's not the David.
Okay, I've got a good friend over there in the Clear Lake area that calls in once in a while. So how can I help, David?
Yeah, I'm just trying to see if, you know, as far as the private money lenders, do you know if any of them ever let somebody borrow everything they need to do just to buy a property in rehab? Because the thing is, I'm trying to start, and I don't have the money for rehab, but I believe I can qualify for like a conventional to get out of the
private money,
hard money situation. So, and if not, then I have to step back and spend like a year of saving in order for me to be able to have rehab money.
There is, I just interviewed him on our podcast. His name is Daryl Dyke. He'll go up to 75% of ARV. So if it's a $200,000 house, if you can buy it, rehab it, and pay all the closing costs for 150, 75%, he'll finance everything, including the closing costs. Now, you're still going to have some money, you know, $10,000 or $15,000 to get the contractor started. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Okay. So something, I have to have something, you know.
Yeah.
There's no,
even when we talk about zero down deals, you still need at least a third of the rehab to pay to the contractor to get them started. Then the bank will reimburse you at the end when he finishes.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. The thing is, I just needed to know, do I have to wait or can I just go for it? So it seems like I'm going to have to wait and do a little bit more saving in order for me to start.
Yeah, I would. You need that comfort. You need peace of mind knowing you've got that money in the bank, or it's going to beat you up mentally. Again, that's but when you're ready, just call back to the show or email me, and I'll get you in touch with Daryl.
All right, yes. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I appreciate it, David. You take care. Okay, we got to go to break. When we come back, we'll answer a few more email questions. Phone lines are open. We're coming up on the final segment of the show, so if you've got a question, please call me now so we have time to talk about it. It's 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV, or email me, asksteve@getrealwealth.com. Thanks for listening.
Real estate accounts for more millionaires in America than any other investment vehicle. This second stream of income can truly change your life. More time for travel and romance, more time for family and fitness, more time for whatever you want to do with your life. To find out how to build this second stream of income, attend our free 2-hour introductory workshop on real estate investing. To reserve a seat, visit GetRealWealth.com and click on the free workshop button at the top of the page. That's GetRealWealth.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to the GetRealWealth.com radio show. I'm your host, Steve Davis, and we are now in the final segment of today's show. So if you've got a question for me, again, I need you to call right now so we have 3 or 4 minutes to discuss it. And this can be about anything to do with real estate investing. I did get an email with a question about an accountant, and it really depends on the size of your portfolio, who I refer you to. You really, if you're smaller, you know, say 50 houses or less, there's multiple good people that can handle that. That is so basic. It's when you have 20 houses, you're passive in 2 apartment complexes, you own an apartment complex or self-storage facility, that's when it gets really complex and I send you to a different person. So if you're still listening, please check your email. I replied to you, and then let me know what size your portfolio is. The next question is, now this is weird. One, I can't, Run Johnny. I had the wrong, I was reading the wrong thing. Ron Johnny has 100 units, 8 to 22 units per building. Okay, so it's a 100-unit apartment complex. He's talking about the PPP, but you've put your employees as contractors on 1099s. The first thing, Ron Johnny, that's not the right way to do it. You want your people on payroll. Because you've kept them on 1099, you're not going to be able to qualify for a PPP loan. Now, I know what you're saying, but I save taxes, I save this, I save that. Yeah, until one of them complains to the IRS that you've got them on a 1099 when they really do have specific times they need to be there, which means they don't qualify for a 1099, and other things. So, Ron Johnny, get those people that you do have on schedules onto W-2s, start paying them like employees. Whether this has nothing to do with COVID, this has to do with this is the right thing to do. And as far as a solution for your situation, I do not think there is a solution. You're simply, because you did that, you're not qualified for the PPP loan. They got to be W-2 employees. Now, there is good news for your contractors. They can apply for a PPP loan. And you don't have to do anything, but just please tell them. You know, I talked to a lady that helped me with a PPP loan, and she told me a story about a lady she got a PPP loan for, and then she never told her contract employees that they could apply for it themselves. Just terrible. Let your contractors know that they can apply for a PPP. Now, you still may be eligible for other parts of the PPP loan, but that's over my head. So don't give up on this, but you need an expert. And there's a company out there called Cabbage where you can apply for the PPP loan. But I believe you're going to get to the part where they ask for the W-9, which accounts for all your W-2 employees, you're not going to have one, and that's going to kill it right there. But you could call them, ask them if there's anything else you qualify for, any other portion of the PPP or the CARES Act that you do qualify for. Cabbage.com, I believe. But just Google Cabbage. Okay, phone lines are open, 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV, or email me. And remember, you're welcome to email me after the show, anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's asksteve@getrealwealth.com. Asksteve@getrealwealth.com. Okay, this is the tax planning question again. Seven homes, a total of 23. Okay, they've got two small apartment communities and seven homes. This is not that complex, but I do have somebody I'm going to refer you to, Tammy. His name is Steve Desparius. He is semi-retiring, but he is a businessman who has trained people to replace him. So you can still get your taxes done with him, and he's still looking over them. This guy is a genius. I'm not kidding you. And I will send you his contact information after the show. Okay, phone lines are open, 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. Okay, this is from Mark. And this is Mark, who listens all the way from New York. Let's see, month-to-month basis. They pay late, but now it's better late than never. I agree with that. I am asking the tenants to move out because I will be selling the property and I don't want to sell it with the tenants. Besides giving them notice, is there anything else that has to be done? Is a 90-day notice enough? You know, Mark, unfortunately, I don't know the rules for New York. Let me tell you the story for Texas. You simply have to give them 30 days notice. Now, here's how I handle it. You're not required to do this, but I suggest you do it. You want a phone call, text, and certified mail. Phone call, text, and certified mail. So keep that certified mail receipt. Keep a copy of the letter. But it's best to talk to them because they may just go, dang it, I didn't want to move, but okay, I'll be out in 30 days. Or they may ask you for another month. Very hard to get that information through text or mail. And you might be perfectly willing to give them an extra month because, you know, it's going to take that long to close if you sell it anyway. Now, as an investment property, this duplex, I'm not 100% sure that I would want it vacant to sell it. Because the buyer may want those tenants in. I mean, that's a really cool product, Mark. Look, I've got two tenants in. They're both on 12-month leases. They're paying the maximum rent. That makes that property a sweet deal. So I'm not really sure why you want the tenants out. It may make it harder to sell. It appears you think it might be easier to sell. I would challenge that. I think I would love to buy your property more if you got tenants with leases, if I'm an investor. Now, if you're saying you're going to try to sell it to an owner-occupant who's going to lease out the other side, that makes sense. But then you only need one of them out, not both of them out. Yeah, I can't see any advantage at all, Mark, to having both of them out. One of them, yes, if you're going to sell it to an owner-occupant. But it's more likely that that duplex is going to sell to an investor. So there's my 2 cents, Mark. Hope that helps. All right, we are at the end of the show. My email is open to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It is asksteve@getrealwealth.com. Asksteve@getrealwealth.com. I promised you some information on taking action. Because of the phone calls and all the emails, I wasn't able to get to it. So I'm writing a note here that tomorrow at 2 o'clock, right here on KSEV, I will address mindset and I'm going to tease you a little bit with Steve Rosenberg's work on how to get across the starting line. And yes, I said that right. How to get across the starting line. Okay, this has been the GetRealWealth.com radio show. I'm your host, Steve Davis. Thanks for listening.
This has been the GetRealWealth.com radio show. Please remember that this show is for entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investing advice. Always get a professional opinion before making any investment decision. To find out about the mentoring and consulting at Real Wealth Academy, visit GetRealWealth.com and attend one of our free introductory workshops on real estate investing. That's GetRealWealth.com. Thanks for listening and have a great rest of your day. We'll be right back.